All right, go ahead and mark in your calendars. If you got your calendar in your phone, I don't mind you using your phone at this time. If you have scripture in your phone, I don't mind you using a phone for that. If you're talking to somebody outside of this assembly, I got a problem with that. Okay, but go ahead and mark on your calendars, July 29th. Lord's willing, trumpet's going to sound, we're all going to have a big picnic up in heaven. But if the Lord grants us this day, this is another yearly thing that the Northview Church family puts on in Statesville, and they have it called Summer Series. You can see out on our news board different Sunday nights that will be happening, I think, pretty soon, starting in June. Now, the difference is that the nights up until July 29th on Sunday evening is at their church campus or facility. I don't like call it getting church in this building, but they're in their building at 6 o'clock, okay? So the time's different for that. You can see the different speakers from different congregations around the state for that. But July 29th, because we are the closest congregation to them, they want to invite all of us to be there. Not just having me as a guest speaker and then anybody from their church wanting to show up. They're wanting us, all of us, to be there as much as possible. And it's at a Martin Luther King Park, I believe is what it is, in Statesville. I'll give you more details a little later. But they have hot dogs, and we're going to have just a picnic underneath the shelter and worship God in song. And then they have assigned me a certain text to deal with. So the whole series is called I Just Want to Be a Christian. It's based off of Reuel Shelley's book, and they're just going to be talking all summer long about that's really what we want to be. It's just Christians, Christ followers. And so mark that down. Now, in a couple of weeks, Lord's willing, unless the trumpet sounds, go ahead to the next slide. We're going to have Graduation Sunday. That is kind of our annual thing as a church family. The reason why I want to mark this is that we want everybody to stay for this as well. This is to honor our graduates, especially our high school graduates, and you're going to get to hear of them. We got quite a list out there on the jars. If we had more than seven, we'd have to put up a different table. But you come that day, you're going to get to know Kaylin a little bit better, Bryce, Paxton, Alex, Megan, David, and Nick. If so, come that day. And I've got to say one thing about Megan. You're looking at a very proud dad tonight because last night she was crowned the prom queen of her school. And so, yeah. And so Daddy got to have a dance with the queen. So that was really good. But we're going to have a meal to share on that day. We'll make sure Megan has chocolate milk. So you guys bring the rest of the food, okay? But mark that calendar as well. It's a great celebration for them. It's to honor God because our young people honor him by their hard work, and we need to do that. But also, I've been asked in the passing, well, why don't we, does that include the college? We specifically made this for high school, but that doesn't downplay any of our college graduates. We have Kayla, Drew, Francesca, okay, that is great. Am I missing any other college grads? Abigail. Okay. Abigail's going to be graduating. And then, so we're not downplaying that, but we realize that what we need to pray for them is this next slide. That's their graduation. So I'm sure mom and dad would be grateful if that would happen. But they would be honored if all that hard work of college would be honored by getting hired. So that's Kayla, Abigail, Francesca, and Drew that we want to make sure. And who? Oh, okay. Okay, so we got one more. All right. Let's see. Where do we go from here? I'm going to do something here in just a little bit. I don't know if you're a person that believes God will lay things on your heart, but I truly believe we need to understand what that means. And he's definitely done something for me this morning. I think we need to act upon in just a moment. But today and Lord's willing next Sunday, kind of presented this for our graduates, for college and high school. It's really, again, look at what they're going to need in their walk with Jesus, in walking in this world. And we talked at 9:30 about how we get so distracted with the most important thing, and that's having a relationship with Jesus. And we shared with that and how common that is. But it should never, even though it's common, should be something that we just accept. We need to make some changes. And we need to look at our life and make sure that we're pleasing God in every way possible. Make every effort in order to please him, is what the Apostle Paul says. But what we've got to face is the question, what does it take to please God? And if you look at it closely, a lot of Christian groups, some see the same struggle that most people make up in church. They think that the way that you please God is through religious ritual. And we'll struggle with that. And how to break that bond of it, the only thing I know of is that you change something, see how you react inside, and then you find out, okay, let's go to Scripture and make sure, and then be able to pray together, talk about it, and realize that what is really God wanting us to become. And so a lot of people think it is just religious rituals. There's others think that the way that you please God is through rules and regulations. If you just do certain things, then God will say you're okay. And that really doesn't please God either. So some people think that if my good works are outnumbered or will outnumber my bad works, then God will grade me on a curve. And if I do more good than bad, I'm okay. And it doesn't work that way either. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 tells us really in words what faith is. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. I think there's three key words that we need to examine in that passage. We got to make sure we're hoping for the right thing. Sometimes we've made our wishes our hope, and they don't reflect God's hope that he wants to give you. What does God hope for me? How does he want me to have hope? And where do I place my hope in? And then live a life of being sure and being certain. Bringing that confidence in with God's hope for you. Because God wants to save us. God wants to save the world. God wants us to have a relationship with him. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, here's what I'm going to do a little bit different, I think. I'm going to ask Tim and Purcell to do something with me here, and then also I saw Barbara here a little bit earlier. Where'd Barbara Janan go? There she is. Okay. What we're going to do is this is just what was placed on in my heart this morning. I sat beside Sally in class, and tomorrow morning, real early, they're going to happen to get over to Baptist Hospital, and she's going to have a bypass on her heart. And she's going to have two valves replaced. And she turned to me and she said, "I am really scared. And I believe what we need to do right now is to conquer that fear with a prayer of faith so that she can go over there with confidence that the Lord's with her. The Lord has saved her. But the Lord will be done in this surgery. And no matter which way his will is, that she's saved by him. And I prayerfully hope that can relieve her fear so she can travel to Winston in the morning with faith. Okay? So, Tim and Priscilla, would you go back and lay your hands on Sally? Any of those back there that wants to turn around, Blake, Barbara, anybody? Anybody around here? Barbara's having her shoulder reversed, right? I'm not quite so sure what that means, but yeah, it's kind of a reverse thing. But she's having surgery tomorrow, too. And, you know, now as I look over our group this morning, I mean, Marty's here. And God has been with her and given her strength. And she's gone through just a battle after battle after battle. And I heard about her faith. And just praise God for how he's brought her to this point. Anne's the same way. There are times that she was in such great pain that she didn't know if she could make it through another day. And so I thought we'd just spend the time here shortly in prayer. So if everybody'd stand and join a hand, and let's pray over. Well, Father, I want to come before you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to come to touch your power. We want to plug into your love and the confidence that can only come through you. Father, we've mentioned people. We want to pray for our sister Edie, where you sent Larry over to find her this week, and that she was able to get into the hospital, and now she's progressed to rehab. Continue to pray. We pray to heal her body. She just has a wonderful, wonderful outlook spiritually, but she's so tired physically. But Father, she just represents Jesus to us. Father, we see Jesus in Marty. To where she could have given up a long time ago facing this battle with cancer. And we're so honored to have her here with us this morning. It's a testimony of your power. And that's for our sister Ann as well, is that we look at her and have heard those days where she just felt like she would rather for you to come back and get her. And we would just say, we would just want you to send Jesus now to come back and get us all. But we realize every day you give us, it's an opportunity to share your grace and your love with other people who are not ready. And so we want to get other people ready for you. And Father, if you'd grant tomorrow, it's a big day for Barbara and Sally. Pray that you will lay the hands of the doctors and the skills on Barbara's shoulder, and that this surgery will bring the healing that she needs and the strength that she needs. And Father, I pray that for the skill of the doctor tomorrow at Baptist. Pray for the surgeon to be able to be used, his hands be your hands, and be used by you to bring healing upon Sally, that this bypass surgery that I know that minutes, especially for the family, we pray for them too, because the minutes are going to seem like hours. And yet the surgery could go on for about 6 hours tomorrow. Father, most of all, yes, we plead for a healing physical. But most of all, we want Sally's confidence not to come in physical healing, but be from the healing that you've done to her soul. and that her trust in you and her faith in you, no matter what happens tomorrow, that you love her and you care for her and you are with her, holding her close. And so as Jesus speaks in our behalf, being human and know what it's like to suffer, knowing what it's like to pray, if there's another way to go through suffering and pain, we'd rather do it. But may we be like Jesus, to where we honor you and give glory to you and please you, that it's not our will to be done, but yours. And it's through Jesus Christ's name, our Lord and Savior, we say together as a church family, amen. All right, you may be seated. Faith. Wow, where do we go from here? That doesn't mean that we don't have fear at times. It doesn't mean that we don't feel alone at times. But that's what God, I believe, sent other Christians to be faithful when others have fallen, to be close to them. The reason why I felt like we needed to hover around these people to pray for them is because at sometimes, even though we come to assemblies like this, there's a lot of times hearts feel alone. I remember I had a sister just recently come up to me and just said that because we had a prayer just like we did and somebody put their hand on her shoulder, it affected her so much because she felt like she belonged to us. And we belong to Jesus Christ. And you got to feel his presence, because when you feel his presence, there's a lot of power and there's a lot of sure and there's a lot of certain that give you confidence to face what you're dealing with. And so, Father, we want to make sure that we connect with the Father. I didn't want to leave her out, and we'll pray again the Shepherd's Prayer. Sharon's here. And here's another testimony of faith. Here's Larry. I mean, it wasn't too long ago to where I remember we were rushing up to the hospital right up the street here and going through what happened to them in that wreck. And everybody was concerned, everybody was praying, and even though there's still some repair, they are here with us. And it's because of faithful people like that is what makes us strong. But how do I get faith? How do I grow in faith? How do I make sure my faith is genuine? Well, I thought what we'd do today, just quickly, and then you can fill in the blank, is I thought we'd go over faith and what it's more than these things. It's a part of these things. It's just not what some people think it is. And sometimes I think faith is a certain thing, and it's really not true. So, here we go. What is faith? Well, faith is not something that just, now again, it's going to be a part of this. Faith will have some of this in it. But the first thing is, faith is not just something that you say. That you say you got. I've got faith. Because James, in chapter 2, verse 14, now this is the reading from the New Living Translation, and here's how it sounds. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? So, am I allowed to say I've got faith? Yes, but that doesn't mean you have faith. There's sometimes I realize just if I just say it, I got it. And that's just not always the case. Because James is trying to get to a point is that if you say you got faith, you better back it up with action. Action needs to follow. You have faith in Jesus. You have faith that he makes promises and he keeps promises and he asks us to follow him, and that you have faith that, wow, it's going to take some doing, but learning how to love my neighbor as I love myself, it's going to take some work. I'm going to have to go to the cross, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to put it into action some way. So the person that might be your neighbor that's hard to deal with, you look for something good to do for that person to represent Jesus. Now you're going to feel like, wait a minute, I have the right not to do it because that person doesn't deserve it. And Jesus is going to challenge you with that kind of attitude and that kind of faith. But we come to church assemblies and say we got faith. Why? Because I went to church this morning. I can't reiterate enough, and we need to be teaching our new Christians this, because until our teachings really change a generation, we got to make sure that we understand that church attendance has its importance of coming together. But church happens every day through us if you're a called out person of Jesus Christ. Church is not about just coming together and doing some kind of ritual. I tell you, if you go to most of the churches that I've ever been to, no matter what they say on the sign, I've been to different ones, and they'll do things differently, but it's amazing how even like in my heritage of being in the Churches of Christ, you travel clear to California, and you show up in an assembly, and it seems like it's the same thing. And we get locked into saying, well, that's our faith. That's what worship is. Well, we can say we have faith, but our actions need to prove it by we live out the commands of Jesus. See, we can talk a good line. We can know all the right phrases. We've got the jargon down pat. We claim that we have faith, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I possess it. George Gallup says that there are 50 million people in America who claim to be a Christian. But he goes on and states, but not all 50 million can back it up with a Christ-following lifestyle.
Right.
And just because I say I have it doesn't mean I have it. Number two, faith is not just something you feel. Feeling is a part of it. Saying is a part of it. But I back my saying up with action. But it's not just something I feel. I mean, I remember sometimes, and here's what I really had to learn. I went to the Tulsa Soul Winning Workshop and experienced joy like I'd never experienced before. Growing up. And I saw people rejoice over baptisms. Amen. I saw people actually move around because a certain song inspired it. And there was nothing wrong with that. They're absolutely right to do that because it inspires you. But I can't put my statement of faith only if I feel something. Because I guarantee you, as soon as I got back to rural West Virginia, the same kind of joy was not there. So, do I have to be inspired in order to have faith? Well, it depends on where your inspiration is coming from. If it's about Jesus in your relationship, then be inspired. And what's great about it, you can open up the Word daily, you can sing daily, you can worship God daily. But don't confine your worship to Sunday morning, because sometimes a preacher doesn't deliver a good sermon. And then you go home and say, I didn't feel inspired at all. And then we get into these competition things where the point is that I'm going to be, you better do your job so I can leave here more faithful. And then we start comparing. And I know what it's like to be compared to other people. The reason why I'm not as good as another person is because I'm not them. I am me, and I have a gift from God, and trying to make every effort in faith to live it out. And you can do the same. God can use you as a messenger. You know, the best preaching comes from somebody who shows their faith to other people. And you might say, hey, well, that sermon really inspired me, okay? Well, but I didn't do the inspiring. But when you go leave here, take that inspiration to your relationship with Jesus, and you'll be inspired tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So when the tough gets really tough, you continue to act upon your faith. So it's not just how I feel. I've got to feel up all the time. You know, I used to think that. Satan had me convinced that I was being unfaithful if I felt sad. If I got tired. To where if I was taking a nap and you called me and you said, what are you doing? Oh, I can't tell them. And hopefully I understand the difference between laziness and every now and then resting because you're tired. I used to think that I had to perform for people. I still struggle with it. Instead of just being faithful to God in everything that I do and in everything I say. So it's not just always being inspired. Is it great to be inspired? Yes. That's why I go to workshops. I love going to workshops. I'm inspired a lot. Summer celebration. I know Bob would love to fly you out to California and just be inspired. But you can't just come back and say, unless I'm inspired by you, I can't be faithful. No, it's not just alone being inspired. Faith is practical. Look at this. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and then you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give the person any food or clothing, what good does that do? What good is it? See, if we're inspired by God, then we'll be inspired to say, here's a brother or sister who is in need of food and who is in need of clothing. And instead of saying, I hope somebody takes care of them, that God will lay on your heart, it's time for me to show my faith and help my brother and get them some food and get them some clothing. Because we're going to see people. And when we see people that are hungry and they're cold and they're needy, what do I do? Do I go and I tell them, well, there's a song we sing, cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. Or I might want to teach them, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't, whatever. I've lost the tune of that one. What good does that do? And even if it's just a cup of cold water, in Jesus' name, God can work with that. So you'd say, well, you know, I have to go out here. It's funny. I get to the point, too, where I try to rationalize myself to the point, well, does that mean I have to go out and buy them a whole new wardrobe? You know, if they need a pair of shoes, one pair of shoes in the name of the Lord goes a long way. If they need a shirt, one T-shirt given in the name of the Lord goes a long way. really does. What good is it just to feel something and not do something? Faith is practical. Number three, faith is a part of this, but it's just not this alone. Faith is not just something that you think. You know, there's some people think of faith as something that they want to discuss and to debate and to argue about. When they think about faith, they think about theology. Well, is your theology right? Are you doing everything right? Are you teaching everything right? And then it's a concept that gets debated. It's an idea to be discussed. And we don't make any decisions on it. We certainly don't make any commitment to it. We just like to discuss it. I remember one time that in a leaders meeting, not here, not in Minnesota, but I remember one time spending a leaders meeting 3 hours on how we were going to tell the dump truck that had gravel for the parking lot because a bridge was closed, what direction should they take to come and deliver it tomorrow? 3 hours. And I left there so aggravated and frustrated, and guess what? I was wrong for leaving aggravated and frustrated, according to some. I tell you one thing. I'll tell you first of all, right now, Tim and Purcell don't talk about dump trucks, so be at ease, okay? All right, and gravel and all that. But if they did, let's lovingly get them back focused. Get me back focused on what's so important to God. Faith is not something that you debate. It's something that you do. The key phrase in here in this verse, listen to this, James 2:18. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. Okay? Now, what's James trying to say there? There are people trying to debate, how do you know you have faith? Well, some people just are saying, well, you just say it. You say it, you got it. Other people say, no, you got to do some good for people. Now, which one is it? And they debate, and they talk, and they debate. And James just says, look, I'm going to back my faith statement with the things that are good that I'm doing for the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I do this for other people. If not, we're going to get distracted. We're going to be Martha's, Purcell. We're going to get to the point to where Jesus is saying, well, you need to come down here at my feet and listen. And we can get distracted so much. So, faith is odorless. It's colorless. It stays quiet. It's silent. It doesn't really have to pronounce itself. It's weightless. So, how do you know when you've got it? Well, the Bible says to look at your lifestyle. And real faith will show up in the way that you're living your daily life. Faith is, now this is the one, this is a statement I found. I forget where I found it. I didn't like it very well, but it's true. Faith is like calories. You can't see calories, but you sure do see the results of it. Right? I can't see it. They say this is how many calories is in that donut. And I'm counting all I could do, or I could fast tonight for supper, trying to figure out, can I stay within my calories? But I tell you one thing, calories, you can see the result in it. And when a person really has Christ in his or her life, you can see it. You won't have to hear it. You just see it. And if you can't see it, in yourself, do I have real, legitimate faith? I like this illustration. See if you can answer it. If you were to stick your hand into a 220-volt socket, you'd get connected to a power source, and you would know it. You agree with that? Your body would show it. You agree with that? God is far greater than a 220 power jolt. And I don't think it is impossible if we plug into God to become more Christ-like. I remember mentioning this in a one-on-one study with a brother or with a person that I'm reaching out to that comes to my office once a week, and we're going over a study on discipleship and talking about following Jesus, and he's really stuck on this one verse in Luke 6 where it's about Jesus being your teacher and then you become like your teacher. And he's really struggling because I don't think I can ever become like Jesus. I just don't think I can. And I said, well, you think about it. If you hand your bad, your sins, over to God and he washes them away, and then you have this still good left over that he created in you, if you kept building good on that, do you think you can get closer to Jesus? Well, I think I can do that. And say, well, but the thing is, you can't do it. You just need to have faith. Because there's going to be some things God's going to ask you to do in order to become more like Jesus that you're going to think is impossible. I can't do it. I can't do that. I can't reach out. I can't love a person. Whatever. I can't serve a person. You're going to think, I just cannot do it. But God has the power to transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. He does. And I don't believe somebody as big as Jesus Christ can come into my life without some changes that are happening. Because when Jesus moves into the house, he starts rearranging some furniture. And I asked Cammy, there's sometimes I ask, why did we change that? It was working okay like it was. Here's another point. Faith is not just something that you believe. James chapter 2, verse 19 says, you say you have faith for you believe that there is one God, good for you. Even demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. You know, I used to get so confused. What is James trying to do here? Aren't we supposed to believe? I mean, Jesus says to believe, and then James turns around and just says, well, wait a minute. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Well, good. Now, listen to this. If you believe in God, and that's just where it stops, I believe that he exists. Okay, first of all, you cannot please God without believing that. But there's something to follow the belief. It's just not believing that God exists. James is just trying to say, if it's going to stop at you just saying there is just one God, well, good, because even Satan believes in God. And he trembles. And see, sometimes I kind of feel like Satan understands God better than you and I do if we stop our trembling before this power source. Because he is most powerful. And he can change my life. But he wants to save my life. You're not doing anything different than what Satan does if you just say that you believe. Satan believes that he exists. So, because I have committed my life, now how can I tell? What do I do? Where does my belief go? Because I made a commitment of my life to him in baptism, I've accepted him as my Lord, and I go way beyond just intellectually believing that he exists. Because belief says, I trust God and I'm turning my life over to God. That's what trust is. And a lot of people are going to miss the mark of becoming more like Jesus because they got it in their head but they don't have it in their heart. They've got their head knowledge, he exists, but it doesn't show up in their life. Now, some may say this, but it isn't. Faith is not about church affiliation. It is not about that. Some person might say, Kevin, I'm Baptist. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, but I'm Catholic. Well, fantastic. That's great. I'm a Presbyterian. Fantastic. Fine. I'm Church of Christ. Well, good for you. I'm Lutheran. Fine. But brothers and sisters, just because you're affiliated with a church family does not mean that you or I are living by faith. I go to the faithful ones. But am I acting on my faith? Is my faith what God says faith is? It's all good and fine, but there's no verse in the Bible that says religion is the way to heaven. You can't find it. And James does say, if you're wanting to talk about religion that God accepts, you better take care of orphans, David, and widows. You better take care of them, because if you're not doing that, I don't know where your faith is. Listen, not, or listen to the relationship, but not so much about rules and regulations or rituals. I've missed a part of my faith walk with Jesus. Because I felt like if I just showed up someplace, he was happy. So the last thing, how do I know I have genuine faith? Faith is something I do. Now, 11:6 of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If faith is something that I'm doing what God asks me to do, talking about the one another passages, talking about loving our enemy, talking about even, I know this is a struggle because we all struggle with this, but let me go ahead and just say it. When we talk about the Great Commission and it says go into the world, make disciples and baptizing them, for some reason we try to argue that as if it's not a call from God. And we'll find anything about ourselves that says, I don't do that, or I exclude myself from it, or don't do it. Now, do you believe your relationship with God is very important to your faith? Absolutely. Do you believe by following the commands about our brothers and sister relationship that God gives us, are they important? Yes. That's why you'll hear the call. We got to find out how to spend more time with each other outside of this assembly. Taking care of one another. Watching out for one another. Praying for one another. Carrying each other's burdens. And you go down through all those commands that he gave us. And we can show our faith by living those commands out. And then for some reason we get stuck on the third one that will make us well balanced. And that is to reach out to people. And gaining that surety and that certainty and that confidence, the same surety and certainty that Sally feels now about entering into surgery is the same way that we can have if we just invited our neighbor. You just go do it. And if you can't do it alone, take a brother or sister with you. And do it. You know, one of the most uncomfortable things that I did this past year was go over with Mads to LRU and a group of us and walk around there and just stop people and start talking with them about, do you have a church family or do you have some? That was one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever done. He's not here this morning because he's visiting family, but you know, we wouldn't have Awana with us in this fold if that hadn't been done. How many Awanas are still out there? Man, they're out there. Let's go find them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to be together. Thank you for a time that we can pray over and acknowledge the faith of our brothers and sisters here. Father, help us to grow in faith. We admit we lack faith from time to time, and we need to keep growing in faith. We want to become more like Jesus in many ways, and we got so far of a journey to go, but help us not to stop making an effort. Help us to keep our steps in line with the Holy Spirit that you have given to us as a gift to teach us and to counsel us and to remind us of the words that Jesus taught, so that when Satan comes along and tempts us on a daily basis to be something that does not please you, we can remember what you said, and then we got a choice and a certainty that as long as we obey you, you're going to bless us. And so I pray that we can be growing in our faith by just doing our faith in you. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.